WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia. The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, thanks everybody for joining us and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what's new this week in recovery news?
We have some legal stuff. A Colombian man dubbed the Prince of Semi-Submersibles has been sentenced to over 20 years in prison. Oscar Adriano Quintero Renquito, 35, operated a fleet of narco subs that's thought to have smuggled nearly 30,000 pounds of cocaine.
Oh, you mean submarines?
Submarines, yes.
I thought you, when you said subs, I thought you meant like hoagies.
No, submarines. This guy from Latin America, they had these submarines going underneath the water and bringing loads of cocaine into the United States. And they busted him, and now he got sentenced to over 20 years in prison.
What's his name again?
Let's not go there, Barry. Okay. I mean, Gary.
Barry. We haven't been here in so long, you forgot my name.
Yeah, what else? A little rusty.
What else?
A little
is
rusty.
New?
So, El Chapo's son faces U.S. Yeah. U.S. Mm-hmm. sanctions for allegedly trafficking fentanyl into the USA as part of the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman Lopez was sanctioned for basically operating super labs. And what they're doing is, you know, any U.S. assets get confiscated. And what they've been doing is with other drug dealers, they're starting to sanction them. And an interesting part about this is it's thought that his operation is fueled by Chinese chemical and pharmaceutical companies who are sending these chemicals right to the cartel to make their fentanyl and to make these synthetic drugs. And it just makes my blood boil.
Yeah, it's you know, that's the ultimate nepotism when your father turns your business over to the son who are beyond criminal. And these guys, you know, look, I don't have that makeup in my head, but it's all about money. They could care less about anybody's death, nothing. It means absolutely nothing. The only thing that matters is money.
And El Chapo has a whole litter of kids.
Yeah.
He's got lots of them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of this going on.
Yeah, well, it's really horrible. Okay, so adversities and setbacks actually occur in recovery, and we all know that. But it's how we handle these situations that don't go our way is the real test. And when we come back, we're going to find out why we have not been on the air for 3 weeks. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, I'm Billy J. Kramer, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We're back. And we're also heard on these great radio stations. Besides WWDB in Philadelphia, we're on WPEN 97.5 HD2 in Philly. We're on WHFS, Tampa, Florida. We are on WWWE, 1100 in Atlanta, Georgia, and WGAC in Augusta, Georgia. So it's a good lineup of stations. We're reaching a lot of people. And I'll tell you something. I am really glad that we are back. It seems like we haven't been here for months and months. And, you know, the show today is about adversities. You know, I think when we all get into recovery, we think nothing's going to happen. It's just everything's going to be cool. And but that's not the way it works.
It sure isn't. I mean, people have told me that, you know, when I first came into recovery, that you're going to face trials and tribulations. And it's so easy at that point to think that it's not going to happen to me.
That's
I'm going to be okay. I'm never going to face adversity. And you are so right.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, look for me. And by the way, oh, so Linda's here also. Linda E is here. When you hear her voice. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Good.
So for me, I mean, all of a sudden I had to have emergency surgery. And, you know, I personally, because I've been around for a long time, I wasn't thinking about, oh, I'm going to start using again. But, you know, you have to worry. You know, you hear stories about people have medical problems and they're given certain drugs and then boom, they're off to the races. So I was good. You know, I had the surgery, but I'll tell you something, it really makes you think that you're not invincible, you know?
It really does. I mean, it gets to that point when you're in the ER and something happens and you just think about how much of in life we can have these issues come up. And were you scared?
About the surgery?
Yeah. And
no,
just find-
I've had a lot of surgeries, Mark. I wasn't afraid. I was just like – my issue was – and this sounds very – this sounds ridiculous – I have so many things I need to do, events, the radio show, all the stuff, the prison. I was afraid I was going to start missing stuff. And as it turns out, we weren't here, guys, for 3 weeks. And every week I would say in our promo, we'll be back next week. And it didn't happen. So it was very frustrating to me.
Yeah, I would get that phone call from Gary on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, and he would sound so down. You know, saying that we weren't going to have this show. And, but man, are we glad to be back. And I got to tell you, something happened here. Talk about like Gary's going through all this adversity. And right in the middle of it, he celebrated an anniversary. And we have a coin here for him. It's blue with silver. It says Unity, Service, and Recovery. And this is for 41 years of continuous sobriety for Gary Hendler. Okay. And I'll tell you, Gary, I mean, it really shows this recovery. And you can see it also has the Serenity Prayer on the back here.
Well, can I tell you the ironic part? And then we're going to get into Linda's little mishap. I had surgery last Thursday on my anniversary, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm going under with propofol on my anniversary.
Strange thing, isn't
Strange
it?
Stuff. Strange stuff. Linda, what happened to you?
Well, the reason we don't think about adversity is we first come in the program and we get better. And we're on what they call a pink cloud. We're so happy. Everything's going our way. We have new friends and all this. And then it gets tiring. You do the steps and, you know, you fall in and out of your friends, different sponsors, different sponsees. But when you face adversity, that's when you really have to watch your behavior and your thoughts and whether you tell the truth or not. So I was in a little fender bender last Thursday. The ambulance took me to the ER. And I was there about, I don't know, I'm going to say 20 minutes. They offered me drugs already.
Did they really?
They offered tramadol. And the girl's like, oh, that's not addicting. I said, and I saved my speech that I usually say about that. And I said, no, I'd rather not have that. So she gave me some Tylenol. But in 1 second, you can go off the deep end. In 1 second.
You know, because the medical community, for the most part, they don't get this.
They do not get
it. I don't care
it.
What kind of training they have. They don't get it.
They don't get it. And I'll tell you, when tramadol came on the market, it was marketed as this
as non-addicting, right?
thing. Yeah. And I'll tell you, as counselors, we saw it go way the other way very quickly. And we knew it pretty much from the beginning.
So always vigilant, and always with a good attitude. And you can get through any adversity.
Absolutely. Hey, if you're just joining us now, either just listening to us or watching us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Clean and Sober Radio. What was I going to say? Oh,
we're
what we're talking about today is adversities in recovery. And it happens. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's how you deal with it. And I just want to, you know, I want to mention that, you know, there's a lot of people watching us right now who are, you know, were missing us, I hope. And I just want to run through some people just to acknowledge them right now because we haven't done it in 3 weeks. And Mary Donnelly, Judge Christopher Maddox is watching us. I wonder if the judge is on the bench right now.
He might be.
Debbie Reynolds, Kathy Wolf Collin, Laura Story, Robert Brandes. I saw Robert last night. Larry Wernick, looking good, champ. Way to go. Yeah. I'm back, Larry. Michelle Walker, Paul Martin, Brian Pontecorvo. Proud of you, Brian. You know why. Ambulia Cooper. Come on.
It's a day of names.
I'm not good at that. So, all right, thanks everybody for watching us and everything. So, yeah, it's a real issue. As Linda said, and Mark, you said this, when we get into recovery, we think nothing's going to happen. It's going to be smooth sailing. I'll tell you something. 2 years after I got into recovery, which was 1984, I was arrested for something I did in 1980.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine.
Can you imagine? I was like, what are you kidding me? I'm clean and sober.
Did they come to your door?
No, I got a message I needed to show up at the federal building.
Oh, my God. And then you called your sponsor right away, I'll bet.
I called the lawyer right away.
The lawyer right away.
That's who I called, you know. Did you ever have anything happen like that to you?
Well, not being arrested in recovery, thank God.
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's funny because you want all your skeletons to lay where they're going to lay and not come back to haunt you. But I can't tell you that it's not that distant thought, you know, especially early on that, like, is something going to come back to bite me, you know? But, gosh. And then you went through the whole trial period and all
sober,
that stuff.
You know.
Sober.
So, I mean, that was a major adversity for me at the beginning of the recovery.
Yeah.
And I did it.
You feel like it made your recovery actually stronger?
Yeah. I think with all these adversities, Linda, you got in a bad accident. I mean, I think what it does is it proves to each of us that we can do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's funny how, like, some people get hit right away in recovery with adversity because there's so many things that we bring into recovery, so many problems, broken relationships, all that stuff. And but I just remember for me, my biggest was the death of my mom. And then
how long were you sober with your mom?
I was 6 years sober. You know, and then and it was awful. I mean, it was one of those things where she ended up getting diagnosed with leukemia, and we thought it was a very – she didn't even tell us for, like, the first 12 months that she had leukemia, you know. And it turned out to be a very serious form of leukemia, and, you know, it was only about a year after that she passed away. And it was really tough because – we actually signed up for what's called a stem cell transplant and down at Jefferson. And so she was excited to get this transplant. And then at the last minute, the person backed out that was supposed to give her this transplant. And then she went downhill.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, but this is life. All this stuff is life. I got to mention one thing. So I had the surgery, and I've had surgeries before. Even being sober for 41 years, I was still looking forward to feeling that buzz for 1 second when they put the IV in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it sounds
not at all.
It's like when we talk about looking in somebody's medicine cabinet. I don't care how long you've been sober. Some of us still look in somebody's medicine cabinet just to see it. You know,
you can't completely turn that off.
You can't.
I don't believe so.
Mm-mm. I don't think so. You're right.
You know, you just can't.
So I got cheated out of it because as they were talking to me, they must have turned the switch.
They do and that. Unless, and then you're out cold.
And then I remember waking up and going, what?
I remember trying to stay awake years ago.
No way, right?
No, and you're just out.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Speaking of ridiculous behavior, if you need help now, you're listening to us, you think you need help or a family member, please call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Line at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. And I just want to say Laura Story sends a message. Welcome back, guys. Yes, it's been a long 3 weeks. Still clean and sober. And congratulations, Gary, on your 41 years. Cool.
And I wanted to mention if you are having thoughts of self-harm, give a call to 988, the National Suicide Hotline. And also, if you have a story about your own adversity that you have gone through in recovery, call us. We'd love to hear it. We'd also love to hear how you got through this clean. Was it difficult? Our number is 888-728-9941. That's 888-728-9941. We want to hear some people.
We want to hear from you. Come on, get involved in this show. Everybody's got a story. There is nobody in recovery,
unless
you just got into it yesterday, that hasn't had problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody.
I mean, it's basically – I mean, it happens often. You know?
It's just different degrees of crap.
Yeah, stress. I mean, there's so many different – then you get hit with the curveball. You know, where something big happens.
But don't you find people that relapse, it's not always about adversity, that they can get through the adversity, they have a sponsor, they bring it to a meeting, people give them all kinds of advice, work this step, sandwich your meetings, and then they get bored one day, 4 weeks after that, and they don't go to the meeting, and then boom, they relapse, and they don't realize it's in the back of your mind all the time. It never stops. Look what Gary was saying about,
It's doing push-ups in your head, right?
It is. And you know, a lot of times, like, we're so used to chaos, especially early on. I've met a lot of clients that I've worked with that as soon as the chaos starts going away, that's actually when they pick up because they're not used to living a calm and serene life. They're used to the problems.
Yeah. I think some people get off on the problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so it's tough. Again, I'll give you the number. Mark just gave it, 888-728-9941. Call us. Listen, every single person that's watching or listening has had issues in recovery. Let us know. You could be anonymous. Let us know. You know, if you call us and let us know, other people might be able to benefit from the way you handled your issues.
I got one right here from Melissa Flagel. I didn't pronounce that right. My partner died when I was 34 days clean. I stayed clean 1 year, 2 months, and 4 days just for today. Loving this discussion. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. That's tough, man. It's tough stuff.
34 days.
34 days.
And you know, we could use that as such an excuse.
Don't you think? Yeah.
Like, this happened. Why, you know, just such an excuse.
I mean, we can use the same excuses when we're in recovery as the ones we used when we were using why we were using.
Yeah.
You know, my dog died, the cat ate the whatever.
Yeah. And grief is no picnic. I mean, that's one of the toughest things to deal with in recovery, don't you think?
Absolutely. That is a tough one. Hey, Mark C. from Key West, Florida writes in. Are you considered clean and sober if you use drugs like Percs and marijuana?
What do you think, Linda?
What is he using it for?
That's a great way to put it.
If you're using Percs on, you know, the doctor gave you some, you're tapering down, you have horrible pain. Marijuana, are you using it for pain or are you using it to get that feeling? If you're chasing that feeling, you might be on a different road than clean and sober.
Yeah. And even if the doctor did prescribe it, it's the honesty thing. You know, do you really need it? You know,
and it's so hard to tell what the truth is in our own heads.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean, that's the part where we need our support and our sponsor and all those people to run things by.
Yeah, because we can can rationalize, make up anything.
The first thing that crosses my mind is to lie. I had a video call on Wednesday with a mentor from the Small Business Administration. Really nice man. He said, "Do this, do this, do this." And he's telling me all this stuff. And I said, well, what if they ask me that question and I just lie? This guy was so straight. He's like, lie. You can't lie. Nobody will ever trust you.
You're like, there's no lie detector test.
Apparently, he wasn't an addict at any point.
Right? He's like, don't lie. That would be the worst thing. And I'm like, it sounds like it would be the best thing. But that's the first thing that crosses my mind is to lie. And I don't do it.
Right. Listen, I was told by all the therapy I've been, it's okay if you have the thoughts. It's just don't act on them.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know, you can't really control the thought coming in a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
But
– yeah. Hey, if you're just joining us now, we're talking about adversaries. Anniversaries, adversities. Is that the right word?
Adversities. And I'm hearing our cobwebs today from being out a month.
Yeah, we're a little slow, right?
We're names and all that stuff.
I think we're funny, though, today.
I would hope so. Or you know, we're funny to ourselves.
We're funny to ourselves. You know? I don't know if anybody else thinks we're funny today.
That's the part.
Okay. But but it is interesting. Everybody has problems. I don't care what it looks like. And sobriety is no exception.
And the problem's the ruts. I mean, I don't know if people can identify that when you get caught in these extended ruts where maybe you're feeling more depressed, maybe you have a health thing going on. And it's not like just a overnight problem, but it's one that's hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know for me with the grief of my mom and my dad, that was an extended grief, you know, and you know, your first thought for me wasn't the chemicals. It was acting out in mm-hmm. whatever way I could.
You know, it's another one. You have to get a test for something medical. And now you got to wait to see what the results are. That is gut wrenching.
So scary.
You know,
act out now and call people and yell at them and tell them to do it faster. And that acting out and yelling and hanging up on people, that's long gone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I could get into it real fast.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Hey, if you want to watch us and you're just listening, go to Facebook, go to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and watch us do this show. And you'll see what we're wearing today.
Yeah. And also share the show. We want to get the word out.
Yeah.
Share the show on your timelines. You know, just get the word out.
Share the show. Right?
Share the show.
Listen, Hope Cornfield Bessler is watching us right now.
Hello, Hope.
Hello, Hope. Hope, why don't you give us a call or somebody else? 1-888-728-9941. Listen, Hope, I think I know you pretty well. And you must have something that happened during these decades of sobriety.
You didn't just put her on the spot, did you, Gary?
Well, we'll see if she calls in.
We will see.
Yeah. And Hope's a nurse.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what? You know what's crazy? When you go for tests, I don't know if you guys do this. I do this where I catastrophize it. You know, like I remember one time I found like a little lump on my throat and I literally went to the ER. I was like, I have cancer. Next thing you know, I thought I was 6 feet under, you know, and like we can really get up in our heads about this stuff.
You go right to the end.
Yeah.
I know. That's interesting.
I'm sure you do it too.
I do it too.
Just alike.
If I feel something like like electrical shock or something. Oh my God!
It's the end.
What is that?
It's the end.
It's the end.
Yeah. Rachel W. from Madison, Wisconsin, asked us, "Can you tell me why getting into treatment is so difficult?" Well, Rachel, I guess if you don't know where to look, it can be difficult, and there are not a lot of resources out there to tell you how to get treatment. But treatment is available almost anywhere, I would think, right?
And call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 800-662-HELP.
Yeah.
See if they can help.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, Linda?
Absolutely.
Are we a little rusty today?
I think we are a little rusty.
No, I think we are, then I think we're not.
I think we're like very laid back or something because we're not – I don't know. We're just like you know, it's weird when you're on a radio show every week and then all of a sudden you're not for a month.
Yeah.
And then you're just all of a sudden on the radio show again. It kind of throws you off a little
bit. I feel great. You know, I'm glad Linda's with us today, you know. All right. So, listen, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to continue. Listen, everybody out there, stuff happens. Don't be embarrassed. Let us know about it.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, I'm Tony Luke Jr., and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And welcome back, everybody. We're talking about stuff, unforeseen stuff that happens to us, all of us, in recovery.
I remember I used to play in this hockey league on rollerblades, and I remember being about 5 years clean.
Yeah.
And I got my ankle broken and a ligament torn at the same time. Mm-hmm. And kind of what Linda was saying and you guys were saying, next thing you know, I'm in the hospital. I need surgery. They're giving me Percocet. They're giving me all this stuff. And I remember it was so weird because I was talking to my sponsor, and my sponsor came in to visit me.
Yeah.
You know, and I just felt weird about it. He's like, I can hear it in your voice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just felt weird. But what really worked for me is I actually did not take a prescription home. It's amazing
good
what
you
can get away with. Or no, yeah. I ripped it up when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
I did take it home with me. But
so you were honest with yourself.
Yeah,
you
I ripped
knew.
It up. I just knew. And I remember ripping it up. And it's amazing how much Tylenol and things can work.
If you're not using anything else, Tylenol feels great.
You know,
it really takes away the pain.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, if you have major surgeries,
it's a different story.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I had my knee replaced, I was given oxys, and I took – look, you know that kind of surgeries. I took them for 3 or 4 days, and then I got rid of it. And that's the whole thing about being honest. That's all.
I had one night. I had a – we were talking about teeth before the show.
Yeah, I had a
one of my teeth had one of those, what do you call them?
Abscess?
Real bad abscess.
Oh, that's the worst.
And so my wife went online and was looking at stuff you can do for a tooth abscess because there was a hole in the tooth, you know? And it was put in cinnamon and something else into your tooth.
Clove.
And I did it.
It worked?
No, it did not work. And I remember going to the ER and I was in so much pain. They're like, yeah, we can give you Motrin. I'm like, Motrin is not going to work. You know what I mean?
That was a
legitimate use of it, you know?
Yeah, no. It's listen, teeth, you have to be really careful. Your teeth can control your whole body, man, and the pain from a toothache. And these pains seem to always happen for me, like before I'm going on vacation.
Right.
Or something.
They
where you can't get – or
do.
It's on the weekend where the staff
is
not there.
Anniversary.
Yeah, that's right.
They do happen to you.
They do, yeah. Oh, yeah. What are you going to do? Jarrell C. from the Bronx. The Bronx. How do you say Bronx? You're in New York.
The Bronx.
The Bronx. You're in New York, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how can I tell my story on your show? I've been clean for 3 years. Well, what you can do is you can go to our website, Clean and Sober. What is it? Broadcasting? Mm-hmm. Right. And put a message in there for you, for yourself.
And we check them.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I let Dion know last week. Dion and the Belmonts know that my – because I talk to him sometimes. And he gave me a he's sober 52 years. Numbers are still – people are – you're hearing bigger numbers, you know.
And then you get older.
And then you die.
And you get an infinity coin, right?
Yeah, what's the infinity coin?
I think that's one.
I've heard of that.
If you die sober, there's some kind of coin that they put in your coffin.
Does anybody know about that? That's cool.
I don't know about that.
I don't know if it's maybe some kind of folklore out there, but I've heard that. It's called an infinity coin.
I have heard that too. I just don't know what it is. Yeah. Listen, our audience is huge. There are resources out. Can't someone give us information? You know who gives – Steve Sussman gives us information a lot from Florida.
He does. Is he on here? Maybe somebody can post
today.
It.
Somebody, give us some
info.
Is
it real? Is the infinity coin real?
Yeah, I would like to know that too. I would like to know too. So if you're just joining us and you don't know really what the heck we're talking about, we are trying to focus on adversities in your life in recovery and how you deal with it. And that's what the subject is.
Well, we were using, and that was our only outlet to cope. We just didn't want to feel anything. And then we learn a program and that there's a plan. And we don't have to follow our sponsor's plan exactly, but a plan for ourselves so that we know we don't have to panic or reach for something. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
But if you work a program, and I'm not saying it has to be a 12-step program, but if you work a program, you will have the answers that you never had before and you will know how to act in adversity without acting out, which is not so easy.
You know, I think the point you brought up, first of all, was an excellent point. And about it does not have to be – although I think 12-step programs are great. If find your way. you know, because I think some of these things, the buzzwords, the program, that stuff, scare people. Find your way, but stick with the winners.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of good things, and I actually checked out a couple meetings from Dharma Recovery. And it's mostly they use a lot of Buddhist principles and meditation during the meeting and things like that. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. You can do that and AA.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, if you can get into a rehab, you know, outpatient, inpatient, most people do not have access to in or outpatient treatment. They do it. They go to meetings. I don't know how else they do it, but it can be done. I think in this area, because we are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, there are a lot of resources. There's a lot of rehabs. But in some parts of the country, they're not as plentiful.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to a speaker at a meeting that had 40-something years clean but was involved in the very early N.A., and he was talking about how he knew about the history of NA. And I think it was in the early 60s or late 50s, there was like 8 meetings in California, 8 or 12 meetings in the whole state of California, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then one of the earliest meetings, at least in the Philadelphia area, was at Eagleville Hospital. That was, you know, the first one in this area. But it's amazing how it just spread across the country.
Yeah.
And now there's lots.
I was next door to Eagleville Hospital yesterday when I was at the prison.
Yeah.
Right next door.
It is right next door.
Right, Linda?
Yep. Went up for my training the other week, too.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
You guys know that I'm board of directors of Montgomery County Correctional Facility, which is a great opportunity for me to give back. And we're bringing back after COVID the AA, the NA meeting, and some other programs. And it's all good.
Were they doing them at like by Zoom or anything, or
no.
Did they just go away?
Went away.
Wow! So that is
for
awesome.
Almost 3 years.
That is awesome. You're bringing it back.
Yeah, and Linda's involved with it, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
We can't forget about those in prison. Right?
No, we cannot. No, we cannot, because most of them have made a couple bad mistakes.
Yeah,
but they're humans. I mean, there's, you know, I don't want to go any further. And they need to be given a second chance. I don't know about third, fourth, and fifth, but I think everybody's should be able to have a second chance.
So it says here this medallion infinity coin is for an honoring or bereavement gift from members of AA who have passed away.
Did Brad find that?
Yes, Brad found it.
Yeah, Brad finds everything,
and
man.
I guess, you know, I could have taken it to Father Tom's funeral a few months ago. I mean— I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Do they have them at the coin shop?
I mean, yeah, that token shop online.
Oh, the token shop.
Yeah, he has everything.
Yeah, he's good. That's good.
That's a good company.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Because we go to a lot of funerals.
Uh-huh.
Getting old.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, when that started and everything. You know what I was thinking, though? What do you guys think, like, when you're going through adversity, what do you think the most important thing you need to do to get through that clean? I know in my opinion it's support. But
support?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Stay grounded. Know where you are. You know.
Because I think, Mark, I think you're right. You know, if we can play so many games in our heads if we isolate. And you talk about isolation.
Yeah,
I think support, making phone calls. That's why I believe when we get into recovery, we should try to put together a network of people, a community of people. So you do have that resource and support when things don't go bad. And when they're going great, you still have you know, it's important to have that community when things are going well for yourself.
And setting up those routines. Yeah, we do a lot as a counselor of setting up, but you brought it up, you know, kind of relapse prevention. But routines that we're doing every single day, like calling people, you know, doing readings, whatever it might be. And then you just keep doing those routines through the adversity. And you get to the other side.
Yeah, yeah. But when you're in it, it's difficult.
I know. And it feels like it's not. And, you know, the same catastrophizing that we might think we're going to die because they're doing a test, the same catastrophizing will tell you that this is always going to be this way.
Mark, there's no I felt that in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's never going to end.
I remember as a kid thinking, like, I'm just going to be sick forever when I would get sick. Is that kind of what you had last week when you?
Yeah, yeah. They won't be able to fix it. This, that, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that what is that what addicts do? Is that normal?
That's what we call cognitive distortions, mm-hmm. and that's when there's things like catastrophizing, fortune telling, where they're basically things that are blown out of proportion because of anxiety going on, and so you almost got to catch yourself. Am I catastrophizing right now? You know, am I fortune telling? Like, do I have a crystal ball? Do I know what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah.
And but in counseling, we call them cognitive distortions.
It's a nice word.
Yeah, they like to make big words for this stuff.
Yeah. All right.
on that note.
Okay. All right. So I got another one who called in here. Stan W. from Philadelphia. Hey, somebody from Philly finally. And hey, I enjoy the show and thank you both for giving back every week.
It's nice to hear.
Nice to hear some recognition. Okay. 1-888-728-9941.
And I think, did our board go dead? Let's see. Yeah, I think our board might have gone dead, but maybe the power went out on that, you know? Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right. I just noticed that.
Yeah.
There we go. Now we can do sound effects.
There we go. All right. So, Linda, when you had your car accident recently, mm-hmm. was it last Thursday?
Last Thursday.
When it happened, do you remember what went through your head? I mean, were you afraid that something was really wrong with you? I mean,
I didn't think that at all. I just tried to stay calm. But I have a heart condition, so I can't stay too calm because my heart gets excited. So, you know, they said you need an ambulance. I said, sure, I'll take an ambulance. But I learned don't engage the other driver. Like even if I wanted to say I was sorry or why'd you do that or didn't you see me coming, it's better to just stay calm. And I stayed calm. I didn't yell at anybody. You know, somebody came over. There were a lot of bystanders because it was bumper-to-bumper traffic. So people stayed with us.
They did.
So the ambulance came. It was very, you know, calm situation. So, I mean, you know, I could see in the old days getting in an accident and screaming at somebody, carrying on, you know, and all that. And you just don't do that stuff anymore.
When you got to the hospital, you were taken mm-hmm. to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what. What they try to do to you? I mean, did they go right after the pain? Because that's what they sort of like to do.
That's what they do. They said, you know, I was going to have a CT and I was going to have an X-ray and they had the neck brace on me. So I couldn't have it and they had to do a few blood tests first. And I was like, why? Like, what could be wrong? And it turned out to be nothing. But they said they kept coming in and asking, what's your pain? Is it a 6? Is it an 8? Is it a 10? And when it was still at an 8, they would only come in every 15 minutes, and I was there like 6 hours. I said, yeah, it's still an 8. This really hurts, you know. And my ribs got bruised. Yeah. They didn't break, but they bruised. So it was hard to breathe. They gave me a breathing apparatus. And that nurse who kept checking on my pain level wanted to give me the tramadol. And I said, isn't that a narcotic? And she said, no, and blah, blah. I just said, don't. I said, I'd rather not. I think I'm allergic.
Yeah, there's the honesty part of this whole thing.
Yeah, you can't go into the whole thing. They would have given me whatever I wanted, probably.
Of course.
That's the whole idea that I'm not seeking that out anymore. Yep. I'm just seeking that calm behavior.
But it's sort of tempting. It's so twisted.
But that goes with the thinking it all the way through. I'm thinking it all the way through. If I put another pill in my mouth, maybe I'd end up in rehab again.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't ever want to go back.
Exactly.
Save my life, but I don't want to have to spend that 35 days over again.
Yeah, Mark and Linda, you also, you have to think this stuff out to the end of the story.
Play the tape.
Play the tape to the end of the story. And usually when you get to the end of the story, you say to yourself, maybe that's not
a good
idea.
Maybe it's not worth it, right?
Yeah, maybe it's not worth it.
My sponsor always says that then ask yourself, and then? And then, and just keep following that to where it's going to really go.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
My sponsor, I talked to her last week about something else, and I was telling her about some adversity. Somebody in my family is, and I said, this is, you know, horrible. I used some negative language. And she's like, a Buddha, this sponsor. So she said to me, don't ever think a bad thought. Don't say it out loud because your brain, our brains are so susceptible to negativity. She said, don't say that. It's not going to happen that way. Be positive about it. So she's a very positive person. She can pull me right out of it as soon as I start to get negative. But you need somebody.
Because it is like a rabbit hole. Like, you know, the negativity plays on the negativity and the anxiety plays on the anxiety.
And we call it stinking thinking.
Yeah.
You get into it, you can't get out sometimes.
That's why you need a landline. Call somebody.
Right?
Landline.
A landline.
A landline. If you're just joining us now, we are talking about stuff that happens unexpectedly in recovery. And do you learn? Can you learn from adversities?
Absolutely. You can learn how to act next time.
I think there's always a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like kind of that old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And so, you get through adversity and you take those skills with you.
Yeah. It's so easy to talk about it. And
when you're in it.
Yeah. But look, we've been in it. Look, at different degrees, three of us have had little stuff happen, middle stuff, large stuff happen. And so we're proof that you can get through these adversities with the right tools.
And that's a reason, even if you're well, to share what you're going through at a meeting so people can see your example, that you didn't freak out, that you got through grief. You got through when your dog passed away or your parents passed away. That's happened to all of us now. And you're sitting there as an example in the program to everybody else.
Can you think of any situations, guys, where you thought it was like the end of the world, but it was actually funny?
I have to think about that a little bit.
You know, when you go think back, you go, what?
Well, I think my example with one Saturday when I felt a lump on my throat and I went to the freaking ER.
Well, how long did they make you sit there for a lump?
Oh, I mean, it was a whole thing going in and all that stuff. And you know, and it was nothing. You know, I mean, I forget what it ended up being. But, like, I had myself, like dead and buried practically.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's kind of funny to look at it now and be like, wow, I took it that far. Over that, you know?
Listen to
you. I mean, you could get really stuck.
Yeah.
Freaked out.
Yeah, but you can get stuck, but you didn't go to the next level, which is to, because of your anxiety, alleviate it by doing something.
It's a great point. And I wonder if, like, part of it is, like, our anxiety can go so high sometimes, you know what I mean? How about you? Can you think of anything funny that you blew up in your head? You got a bunch, I'll bet.
I bet. I mean, most of it
ends up being.
Yeah, I mean, my wife will say, what are you getting so upset for? And why don't you find out what it is? I mean, that's a logical way to find stuff. I'm not logical like that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I want to know what it could be so I can prepare for it.
Yes.
Right.
You hit it there.
By the way, my wife Marjorie is watching. Marlene Feynman is watching. Keith Hornog is watching. We're getting a lot of people watching us today.
And on a beautiful day.
I think they're glad. Yeah, and a beautiful day. I think they're glad we're back, but nobody's giving us a call because they are kicking.
I don't know that that's going to help.
Right?
How about this?
I don't know if that would work either. You know, but can you guys think of, like, the most unexpected thing, adversity that happened to you in your recovery? Like, where it was just like, wham, like just unexpected.
I think it was me for the federal arrest.
The federal arrest.
2 years after sober. Yeah.
So you had no idea that was coming, huh?
No.
That's so scary because that was one of those things where, like, you think you got away with it and it's just kind of, you think the skeleton's going to lie there.
It's past. Nobody cares. Guess what? People care. You know, you can't get clean and sober and think of everybody will forgive you. So let's do this. We have to take another break. When we come back, let's keep talking about that. That's an interesting question, Mark.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HireCalling.org. That's HYERCalling.org. And find out how we can help you.
What's happening? Brandon Novak here from Those Movies Jax, or author of that addiction memoir, Dream Seller. Do me a favor and tune into Clean and Sober Radio with Gary Hendler.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
So that was a good question, Mark. What was the biggest, I want to say bang for your buck, but the biggest scare in recovery that you thought would never happen to you?
Yeah.
What was it?
For me, one of them was I was out on a fishing trip, and I went all on, in our boat. We went all the way up to Barnegat, and I was the captain, of course, which is about 30 miles from Brigantine, New Jersey, for people that aren't familiar. And we were coming back. And we got all the way to Brigantine, and we were in front of this jetty, and there were pretty big seas, and we ran out of gas. And it was so freaking scary.
You were scared.
Oh, my gosh, because the waves were—
And you're a seasoned fisherman.
Yeah, and it was at night at that point, and we're in front of the jetty. And the thing is we threw our anchor down, and I thought the anchor was dragging. You know what I mean? Because it was so rough and the wind was going, and I thought the anchor was dragging where we were going slowly and slowly closer to the jetty, you know? And I just remember being so scared, and we had to get the Coast Guard. I mean, the Coast Guard had to come out.
But in that situation, no matter what, you had no access to anything.
No, there was no getting high or anything like that, you know. But
it's scary.
Yeah, I just remember I've had a couple of them over the years in recovery, just terrifying situations that you run into where things can change on a dime.
Most of them on the water?
Mostly, you know, stuff on the water. I'm trying to think of other ones. I've had a lot of close calls in my life, but not in recovery. You know, real scary ones, you know. But I know that there's a lot out there. I would have to think about
it. Yeah, I know. Linda, how about you?
I don't know. I would go with Mark that, you know, when my father died, I had a long time sober. I had 13 or 14 years by then. And that was such a shock to me because we had just put my mom in a home. We just left him, and it was sudden. You know, I got a call from the police in Florida. And as soon as I saw on the thing West Palm Beach police, I knew. And I just lost it. I mean, it was – and that was 10 days after 9/11. And I took 9/11 very poorly. And so I was already in a state of mind 10 days later, and we had to get on a plane. The airplane was empty. The airport was empty. It was – the whole situation was – but if I had lost my wits about me, if I had used something, I couldn't have done all these things that I had to take care of. But it was so scary and nowhere to go. You have to just go take care of everything. But it was really – it was so scary to get on a plane it was 10 days after 9/11.
You know, people say that, you know – oh, if I was knew I was going to die, I might get high right beforehand.
Nah.
You know, you hear that kind of stuff?
It's a...
You know, the anxiety of death?
Right.
It's a hard question.
Mark? I don't know the answer.
I don't know. My I've thought about this. Like, if I had cancer or something and I was, like, given 3 months to live, like, what would my decision-making be? And I don't know what my decision-making would be.
I agree. I don't either.
Because I might be like, man, I want to get tons of mushrooms and tons of this and tons of that and spend the last 3 months of my life just kablottered.
See, that's honesty.
that's honesty, right?
Linda, I don't know the answer either. I don't know what I would do.
I mean, I would get DMT. I would get
what's DMT?
Dimethyl. I can't even pronounce it. It's called the spirit molecule.
Did you ever hear of it?
Yes. It is like the most intense. I don't want to give people – you're not going to be able to find it audience, by the way.
Okay,
but
so it's
supposedly the most intense trip where you see the other side. I mean, you see like it's only like 7-8 minutes long, supposedly, but it's like it feels like hours, and it's the most intense trip you could ever have in your life. It's called DMT.
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 Take note of that, Linda.
I'll make a note not to do it.
All right. So it's interesting. I think the question I asked was interesting that I don't have the answer.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah.
But I mean, imagine like you're in there and they're giving you all kind of, I mean, you're got cancer.
Yeah, they're giving you, yeah. Yeah.
It's a hard one.
I hope I don't want to eat.
Let's not even, yeah.
Let's get our infinity coin.
For whom?
For us, like when we go, let's get the infinity coin. I mean, you know?
Yeah. All right, look. Even though nobody called today, because they're chickens, everybody's sitting at home or in their car and they're thinking, oh, yeah, that happened to me. That happened.
Yeah.
But they don't want to say it. I wonder what that's about.
They don't want it. Well, it's a beautiful day out. So
what's that have to do with it?
Oh, they're like, I don't want to get into my...
They're not on the beach. Well, they could be some places.
You know? Yeah, like they're just, they're it's sitting a down, out there chilling out.
It's just something
out.
Like a downer. A
little bit, but...
But it's...
They're all happy. So it's, you know...
It's Friday.
We get so much out of being present in our lives and making good decisions that I just feel like I'd never want to go back there. I just, you know, I know it's one day at a time, but... Yeah. Just being present and being there for your family and your friends is just so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if we use something, we're gone. We're not there anymore.
That's a great point.
We lose our presence.
Yeah, and your self-respect.
Everything.
And other people's respect for you.
Right.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, even though there's nobody calling in, I'll still we'll mention these people's names if I can find it. Michelle Walker, Spiritual Awakening.
Wow.
That's it.
All right.
There we go, Michelle.
That's the truth.
Todd McKenney is watching. Lorna, is it Danique?
I don't have her.
Hi, Lorna. John Butler is watching. Diane Mundhenk. Why can't our listeners have like Smith? Aaron Xavier Voss is watching. It's a nice name.
There you go.
Right? Let me see.
It's pretty good.
Robin Davis is watching. I wonder if the judge is still watching or he had to get to a case. All right. You're listening to us. You're not calling in, but you think you have a problem. Call that substance abuse mental health hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. It's a real number. And, you know, we always say on the show, you know, if you have any – contact with anybody, whether it's your kids, your parents, friends that have issues with addiction, have that number on your refrigerator, like just like poison control, 1-800-662-HELP, because when you absolutely need to find something, it's not that easy.
Yeah, and get it early. We always say that. Get it early, right?
Yeah.
Don't wait till the lowest of low bottoms. And you know, even if you're not ready yet, go to NA or go to AA, and you will be welcome there. If you haven't made your mind up, you know, they say you just need a desire to stay clean and just go anyway.
And it works.
Absolutely.
It absolutely can take you out of your misery.
It really can. And you'll get the help you need and you'll get the support you need and you'll see that there's hope.
Yeah. I remember you were telling me, because I can relate to this totally, the first time you went to a meeting, Mark, I know where it was. It was outside of Philadelphia. Yeah. And the thought of walking in, what's going to greet you there or not greet you there was pretty frightening.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is once you go for a while, you're like, why was I even scared?
Yeah, because it's so cool. It's
cool. It's so cool and people are so welcoming. But I sat in my car for an extended period. I forget if it was 10 or 15 minutes and was just terrified to go in. And that was the beginning, you know what I mean? And I don't know. Were you terrified, Linda, your first meeting?
The clubhouse outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But I was looking for the one at the hospital, couldn't find it, and finally got there late. And I was petrified, but all I could think was the minute this is over, I am going to run back out that door. I'm sitting like this because I didn't come in to hear the beginning. They were already talking. I said, I'm going to run. I was right by the door, and they got me anyway. They surrounded me. I didn't even say I was new, nothing. They surrounded me that night, and I had a temporary sponsor for 90 days from that.
That's great. That's great. Hey, listen, guys, I thought it was a good show.
Yeah.
You know, it's an important subject. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Remember, if you're a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. And Linda E., thanks a million.
You're welcome.
Everybody wants to shine.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.